All right. Okay. Now we're out here. So much I can do here to get out of the way of this thing, but I think we're okay. Well, today was an interesting day. Kind of recorded the podcast slightly differently today. It worked out pretty well. then got in this quick look for some hentai fighting game. It was okay. That thing's okay. Alright, orange mango sparkling ice, naturally flavored sparkling water, 5 calories. Let's see what you've got. Okay. That's an orangey, mango-y kind of thing. You could mix that with a vodka. That would probably be all right. Yeah, it's not bad. A lot better than that ginger cola fucking fiasco, that's for sure. Man. Ooh. A little hiccup there. Tried another couple matches of Battleborn after we recorded some stuff. I completed a multiplayer match in which our team got fucking stomped. And then, actually completed one of the single player missions with one other player, which just, it's fucking long. It was like 45, 50 minutes to, like, get through this thing, and it's like, it's not like there's story chunks of an interesting, that are like interesting, breaking up the action, that you're just like, okay, well, at least this is going somewhere. It's just like, no, it's just one long fucking mission with kind of nothing going on. It's dialogue that's not especially funny, or not, just not funny, let's call it, and I don't know, at the end there was a fucking big, way too long boss fight that also wasn't fun, and it's like, this thing just seems poorly designed, like, the design of this mission didn't seem great, and yeah, just, I don't know, it just not, just wasn't fun. I don't know. Let's get a little news. Let's get a little news going. A little American politics. Let's listen to the fucking shit show as it happens. Here it is. This is it, right? Newsboys, motherfucker.
Yay! Yeah,
yeah. Oh.
That's what we want to hear. We need to take the...
Yes, home feet on Series 212.
I meant to say, I shot hot cum on my chest and face when I saw that vertically challenged little person.
Oh, man.
I like tits and dragons, but mainly just the tits.
Wow.
Unless the dragon had tits, that'd be great.
Right, wow.
Tally-ho!
I haven't got time for that.
No, it does.
Charlene, you have to remind me what the name of that show is. I've never seen it.
It's HBO.
I got rabbit ears. Sorry.
You know, rabbit ears handle the tits and the boner.
No, I have no idea. You know, you just never know. You never know what's going to happen, especially when we are here 7 days a week.
Way to be informed.
Wow.
I never seen that show.
She's there 7 days a
week. He sent me a note about it.
What's your type?
Possible.
What's your type?
Funny. Obviously smart. Funny
are you
smart.
Very.
They need to understand what I do.
Probably. I think you said it earlier tonight.
Tim Pinkett Smith, I assume, is playing the titular King Charles III.
SexM.com. We look when this channel returns to the,
you know, at the film festival. It was really such a child. I thank you both for.
The Golden Week. This is probably a good thing, given the strength of the yen that we're seeing. We were seeing out there earlier today. It did hit 18-month highs this morning, but it has turned around fairly significantly. As you can see, the dollar yen is now sitting at 107.10. Some fairly dramatic moves in the Aussie dollar as well over the course of the session, both yesterday and also this morning, sitting at 74.84 right now. Now, in the next hour of the show, HSBC shares four failures.
Operates Harold's cars and nobody else's.
A 30-year fixed-rate mortgage refi with our low CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs.
A few months.
So why do it now?
This, right. But, well, I think that's one of the hard things right now is that we have about 2.5 months before we get to Cleveland. That is a very short time with which they have to now start to bring the party together, especially since these nerves are so raw.
You know, and today Mark Salter, one of McCain's former top aides, said that he would support Hillary Clinton.
Right. When you look at a lot of the polls, you see the question on whether or not you would never vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
It's showing up at around 25-26% right now. I think that's probably high. I think it's incumbent now upon the Trump campaign to really make sure that they minimize that number and start to bring everybody together.
Ken, let me ask you this: how do you unify a party? Around what principles are you going to unify around? I look at a John McCain whose foreign policy is completely different than Donald Trump's, who's taken a different position on immigration reform, and who on many other issues has taken different positions. How do you unify a party when there are really big chasms between the candidate and many in the party?
If you're going to look rhetorically for Donald Trump to now start to move away from some of the areas where they disagree, and he's going to try and move to areas that I think are popular sort of boogeymen for Republicans to primaries are always about our differences. General elections are about where we agree. I expect he'll start to, you know, bash the IRS. I expect national security and foreign policy contrast, not only with the last 8 years of Obama, but trying to tie Hillary Clinton to those.
But I thought it was very smart.
There'll be very similar issues like that that he's going to try to they used to bring the party together.
The one thing that Hillary Clinton did in that very brief statement was try to exploit the thing that you really don't know where Donald Trump is coming down on the issues, right? She hit him on temperament and essentially uncertainty, saying, you know, I am the Trump option. If you don't know where this guy is going to go, and Republicans don't know where he's going to go, that's what I think is going to be the most interesting part of this process. The core message that Donald Trump has is jobs, and yet I don't know where he stands on unions, wage supports, exactly the function of how he would punish these companies. There's so many questions he hasn't answered about how he would actually bring back jobs to America, and I think Hillary could eat his lunch on that.
Yeah, and the real shift will be whether or not Hillary Clinton, who has, you know, tried to run to the left of a socialist, now and trying to appeal to these disaffected Republicans, all of a sudden starts to become the centrist where she and the Clintons, where the Clinton brand always previously was, historically.
Yeah, and I think, sort of an overlay on that from the Clinton campaign and Democrats more broadly, I think they're going to try to run sort of the madman campaign that you saw from Democrats in 2012, essentially casting Romney, they'll cast Trump as sort of a throwback to an era that wasn't so inclusive. I mean, even his slogan is Make America Great Again, right? For many Americans, America, you know, sort of the good old days weren't so good. And so I think that's a contrast they're going to try to suggest that Obama was sort of a symbolic shift and that Clinton herself would continue that symbolic shift in terms of cultural expansion.
And that's what's going to be so interesting about this particular general election. I wrote about this today in the New York Daily News. That we have a sometime feminist icon, Hillary Clinton, facing a more often than not time chauvinist man. And they're both leading with gender. I mean, as Nia Maliba pointed out last week, Trump is obsessed with his own masculinity. He leads with his virility and his masculinity. Hillary Clinton does not shy away from using the woman card. She's used it often. She's used it in very exploitative, very obvious ways, explaining that she wouldn't be a third term of Obama because she's a woman, without really explaining what her policy differences would be. I mean, either of them are not afraid to go to very overt gender identity politics to court their voters. Now, the ironic thing is they both need the opposite of the voters that they're courting, right? Hillary Clinton needs to win with men. She's got women. Donald Trump needs to get more women. He's got the man vote. He's got the dudes. And instead, they're really leading with their own sort of, you know,
issue of stability.
Yeah, man. Dudes, Trump, man. Fuck it.
Woo! Trying to try and make that outreach. Well, one thing I would say, Kevin, was a good line. On Hillary, the truth is she hasn't tried to run to the left of a socialist, which is why there are some people on the left of the Democratic Party who are still unhappy with her candidacy, but that may actually position her better in the general.
Well, I think she's not run to the left, I mean, she's just not an authentic progressive warrior.
No. Well, she has to do what Obama did to Romney, which is she has to preempt Donald Trump's narrative with her own. And what you guys did, or your PAC did, what Paul Begala did on Bain Capital, was so effective and in hurting Mitt Romney, as you know, Kevin, that I think the Clinton campaign needs to do that
right now.
They're not even, I fucking hate this shit. They're not talking about, like, one candidate's views versus the other and do they ring true and what are the policies. Even they're just like, well, they've got to try to fucking lie to people this way. They've got to try to fucking make sure to frame the arguments like this. They've got to try to fucking do this. Fuck.
The nomination. So, how will you do it?
Well, Jeff, first of all, let me thank the people of Indiana. I know that the Clinton campaign, a lot of the media have decided that the campaign was over, but apparently the people of Indiana did not quite agree with that. We're going to be in West Virginia next week. We think we have a shot to win that. We're going to be in Kentucky the following week. We think we got a shot to win that. We're going to go to Oregon. We think we got a shot to win that. So, we understand, as you just indicated, that it's an uphill fight for us. But you know what? I started this campaign 60 points behind Secretary Clinton. We've been fighting uphill from day one. We will continue to fight uphill. And I think we still have a narrow path toward victory.
Just to clear, this is Jake Tapper you're talking to. I'm not sure if you knew
that. I'm sorry, Jake.
No, it's okay. Jeff Zeleny talks to you a lot also. One of the issues that you discussed in Indiana a lot, and it obviously fits in with
one of your campaign messages on trade, but one of the issues you talked about a lot is had to do with a corporate decision to relocate hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs from Indiana to Mexico. You said a few days ago, quote, I intend to do everything I can to prevent United Technologies from shutting down their plants in Indianapolis and Huntington, from throwing 2,100 American workers out on the street and moving to Monterrey, Mexico, where they're going to pay people there $3 an hour. This is not acceptable. Right. This is kind of corporate behavior that's destroying the middle class of the country.
Yep.
And you're going to end it, you said. How?
Yes.
How do you end it?
Well, for a start, here's an example. And I don't think the American people are comfortable with this. You got a company called United Technologies. A few years ago, when their CEO left, they gave him a severance package of $171 million. The plants that they have here in Indiana are profitable plants. No one denies that the workers are very productive, but the quality of the work is high. But they can make more money by running to Mexico. Now, it turns out that United Technologies also gets about $6 billion in defense contracts. Well, you know what? I think the American people and the taxpayers of this country would like to know that the corporations who receive taxpayer dollars from the Defense Department or from other agencies treat their working people with some respect. So my message to United Technologies is I will work with other members of the Senate to say, you know what? You're not going to get defense contractors when you have such contempt for the working people who grew your company and made you billions of dollars a year in profits.
So you would target specifically United Technologies, or you
not only United Technologies,
all companies that outsource jobs would not get any contracts.
Look, what we have right now is an economy in which corporate greed, in fact, is destroying the middle class. Where these large corporations, if they can make another nickel by moving to China, they will move to China. Meanwhile, millions of people today are working longer hours for low wages, and the middle class in this country has been in decline for 35 years. I don't think the American people want to see that anymore. They want some moral responsibility on the part of corporate America to respect their employees, to respect the consumers of this country.
But how do you legislate that morality? I'm not taking issue with you, with what you're aspiring for. I'm just wondering, how do you force these companies to stop shipping jobs
overseas? Well, for a start, you use the leverage that the United States government has right now with United Technologies. You say, you know what, you want government contracts. Well, you know what? If you want government contracts, start treating your workers with respect. I'll give you an example of this. Last year, I worked with some other senators and House members to say that contractors with the federal government should pay workers a living wage. And we had some success. We put pressure on them. Our President Obama, I can't remember exactly, I think it was an $11 at least to raise the minimum wage so that any contractor with the federal government pays at least $11. Well, I want to go higher and I want to see that $15
right.
an hour.
15.
Which is, but that's how you use leverage. Contractors want. Needs us to say to make profits by working with the federal
okay,
government.
Fair
and
enough,
you say
sir.
To them, be good corporate citizens, respect your employees.
Let me ask you a question. Now that the general election season is underway for the Republicans, the RNC has declared Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee. Are you feeling pressure from Democrats to get behind Hillary Clinton in any way?
Well, we've taken on the Democratic establishment from day one, and I'm sure that the Democratic establishment, the Clinton campaign, would have loved me not to exist, not to have been in this campaign, to get out of it yesterday. We won in Indiana today. I think we're going to win some more good victories. And look, if you look at polling, Al, they're very interesting things. You ask the American people, do they think that the primary contest in the Democratic Party, by the way, unlike the Republican Party, has been productive, has helped the Democratic Party? People overwhelmingly say yes. And I think that it is basically irresponsible and extremely undemocratic to say what? The people of West Virginia, Kentucky, Oregon, California, our largest state, that they should not have the right to cast a ballot to determine who the president of the United States will be or what the agenda of the Democratic Party will be. I think that's pretty crazy stuff.
Senator Sanders,
we are in this. I'm sorry, yes.
I was just going to say, I want to let my colleague Dana Bash ask a question of you while you're here.
Sure.
Senator, just picking up on what you just were talking about, that's a totally understandable argument that the Democratic voters in all of the upcoming states should have a chance for their voices to be heard. But tonight we have a new political reality, as Jake was just saying, where you have a presumptive Republican nominee and the general election for him is very much beginning. You said earlier tonight about Donald Trump, this is a man who does not have the demeanor, does not have the policy background or the ideas to become the president of the United States. So
absolutely.
Staying in this race, aren't you effectively making it harder for the Democrats to beat the man who you say would be so bad?
Well, you've already conceded the race for me, and I don't accept that concession. Thank you, Dana, but I don't quite agree with you. We are in this race to win, and what I have said time and time again is that what our campaign has succeeded in doing in a way that the Clinton campaign has not done, we win in almost every election, every state caucus or primary, people 45 years of age or younger. Secretary Clinton does very, very well with older people. The ideas that we are fighting for are the future of America. They are the future of the Democratic Party. And by the way, what we have done is excite an entire generation of people, working people and young people, who are now getting involved in the political process. I think when we go to California, when we go to Oregon, when we go to New Mexico, when we go to all the remaining states, and we have a serious debate on serious issues, I think it generates enthusiasm, gets people involved in the political process, results in a higher voter turnout.
And Senator,
Democrats win when the voter turnout is high.
And Senator, no question you're bringing new people into the fold, and you and your campaign also rightly often point out that you do well in open primaries like Indiana was tonight because there are independent voters. On that note, Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, said last week that their campaign is ready to bring in anyone who feels the burn and that movement that you have started into the Trump campaign if they're not inclined to support Hillary Clinton. I understand that you say that this is not over, and it is not over, and that you're going to continue down the road, but this is a very real thing that the Trump campaign is doing, and do you worry they might have success?
No, I don't.
Why is that?
Well, I can't speak for, millions of voters, but I think when the average voter, certainly the voters who support me, look at a candidate like Trump who every day is insulting Mexicans and Latinos, women, Muslims, a candidate like Trump who doesn't think we should raise the starvation minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, who wants to give hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to billionaires like himself, who thinks that climate change is a hoax, despite the fact that virtually the entire scientific community is telling us it is a great threat to the planet. I think that the vast majority of our supporters will not be supporting Mr. Trump.
Senator Sanders, it's Jake again. You've been saying that Hillary Clinton will not have enough pledged delegates to win the nomination, that she'll only be able to do it with superdelegates, and that's one of the reasons you're going to take it to the convention, because you want to change the opinions of some of those superdelegates. But Barack Obama was in the exact same position in 2008. He would not have been able to win the nomination just with pledged delegates. He was able to get momentum, people changing, superdelegates changing to him, but that's only because he was in the lead.
Look, I can't predict what will happen. This is what I will say, Jake. Number one, I believe that when we win and have won states like Washington State or New Hampshire or other states with 60%, 65%, 70%, 80% of the votes, you know what I think? I think that the superdelegates in those states should respond to what their constituents want. And I'm not saying that, if you win 51%, but when you win a landslide victory, I think it is incumbent upon the superdelegates to listen to the people of their state. And in many cases, that is not happening. Superdelegates are supporting Clinton in states that we have won landslide victories. I think that's wrong. And here's one of the ironies of this whole campaign. We now have, if my memory is correct, won over 45% of the popular vote, of the delegates, pledged delegates. And yet we have won all of 7% of the superdelegates. And all that is about is the establishment is supporting Hillary Clinton. And I think as this campaign progresses, you're going to see a whole lot of these superdelegates ask themselves the most important question. And that question is, which candidate, Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, is best able to defeat Donald Trump?
Have you
if you look at every poll that has come out, including CNN polls, in the last month. In every case nationally and in virtually every case in a statewide poll, Bernie Sanders is the stronger candidate against Trump and Hillary Clinton.
Have you been reaching out to these superdelegates? Have you any indication, is there any suggestion at all that any of them will start to come your way?
Well, I think as this campaign progresses, look, I can't make predictions. And Jake, let me repeat what I said at the beginning. We understand this is an uphill battle. But I think that you're going to see some sensible superdelegates who perhaps declared for Clinton before I was even in the race, maybe a year ago, maybe more than that. And I think they are going to say, well, look at the objective facts. Bernie Sanders will not only win virtually all of the Democratic votes, he is much stronger among independents than is Hillary Clinton. I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think we win independent votes over her by about a 2-to-1 margin. You know what? You cannot become president of the United States without winning independent votes. And I think I am much better positioned to do that than is Secretary Clinton.
Well, more importantly, Senator Sanders, for this evening, as we wrap up this conversation, congratulations on a big and hard-fought victory. Our best wishes to you and to Jane, and best of luck out there on the campaign trail.
Jake and Donna, thank you very, very much. Take care.
Thank you, Senator. And we're going to have much more campaign coverage of this exciting election night when we come back after this very quick break. Stay with us.
SiriusXM has for Mother's Day. I'm SiriusXM stars. Wake up with Taylor and plays Name That TV Mom. Celebs read from Jenny McCarthy's pregnancy book, Belly Laughs. The Mom's Talk.
From a pair of Spalding tennis shoes.
Free. One more time. To try it for free, go.
This channel is scheduled to be off the.
Very clear, pretty much, Sandler. If Europe doesn't fulfill its side of the bargain, then why should we fulfill ours?
And that's our correspondent, Chris Morris. Newsweek from the BBC still with us in a moment. We'll be taking a look at what's happening in Brazil, where the Olympics.
Well, you know, like a little bit about something.
Fair enough. But nobody.
He knows what you give.
The reason why I don't pee.
Brazil. And it's an economy that naturally
lends. And you don't get exactly where you want to be in the end. It's brutal. It's tough. What do you think?
Tell me about it. You know, people don't understand it. I think sometimes, Sean, it's harder to get out of the race than it is to get in. Getting in, you kind of ramp up. Getting out is usually something you have to do very abruptly. And it is so painful. You feel like you've let down your family, your friends, people who have sacrificed financially and given their time. It's a very, very painful thing to walk up on that stage and say, we're done.
A month ago, I think Ted Cruz had a mathematical chance, realistic chance of stopping Donald Trump. I mean, that's how close it was for a while. I don't think he has anything to be ashamed of. I think he ran a very strong campaign. It was clearly, I viewed Trump and Cruz as both outsiders, insurgents in different ways. And the country clearly did not want an establishment guy. And it came down to those two. So he has a lot to be proud of. How does this work itself out, especially Cruz supporters that are disappointed tonight?
I feel like if you need a fucking indication of how fucked up things are, it's the thing where they say like that Ted Cruz is an establishment guy. Seem like the fucking cavalcade, and you know, who knows what reasons they have for doing it, when they did it, and you want to imagine all of it is super calculated and fucked up, but just the cavalcade of people that have come out and said like, oh yeah, Ted Cruz, yeah man, fuck that guy, right? Hey, I work in a similar role as him, and that guy's a piece of shit, you know, like just the fucking different Republicans that have just come out and said, oh yeah, this is a miserable son of a bitch, like, fuck that guy, like, wow. I've had it for a while, but I'll say I've got a real fucking bad feeling about all this. None of this. It's felt a lot like watching like a fucking slow motion car crash for a long time, where you want to go like, no, hey, this shouldn't go this way. You should, hold up, turn the, no, just don't, if you could do this. Gasp of the crazies, I hope, man. Fuck. Sometimes it feels like that stuff's just getting started. It's only gonna get fucking crazier from here. Big Donald Trump fan. Never have been. Like, sinking to new lows over the last chunk of time here. Never really been a Hillary Clinton fan. The longer the Sanders-Clinton thing drags out, the more it starts to look like they'll just fuck each other up so much that, you know, that when the Democratic establishment finally does fucking just ram Clinton through, that she will have gone through so much that, I got a bad fucking feeling about all this. I'm getting nothing out of it. Like, I take no pleasure from any of it, other than Ted Cruz elbowing his wife in the face tonight. That was pretty fucked up. But I just, not watching it like a reality show and going like, what are they going to say next? And it's just like, it's, every time I turn any of it on, it's just like, oh God, oh jeez, fuck. You know, it's like on some level it doesn't really matter what I think about it because I live in California, which will go Democrat no matter what.
questions. He just kept giving you the
this
speech.
Fucking guy.
And I thought, you know, that's what Hillary does. Sticks to the script, stays with the talking points. What people are so, I think, appreciative of Trump is that there's a sense in which he's really reacting viscerally to what's going on.
He has no idea what's coming at him. He's just going to fucking say whatever.
And following the script and carefully rehearsing everything.
Oh, I don't. Well, I think we learned that throughout this campaign. He doesn't rehearse. There's no doubt. All right, Governor. Good to see you. Thank you. And coming up, we have more reaction analysis to tonight's breaking news. Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee, Senator Ted Cruz, has dropped out of the race, and Bernie Sanders scores a huge win in Indiana, defeating Hillary Clinton. That and more tonight on this busy news night on Hannity.
The 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby is on SiriusXM. Last year, American Pharoah won the Run for the Roses on his way to the Triple Crown. Listen this year as undefeated Nyquist leads this year's class of three-year-olds in the Churchill Downs.
Nyquist has won the Florida Derby!
Saturday, our coverage begins at 10 a.m. Eastern with Nate Johnson's Down the Stretch. Then stay tuned for the Horse Racing Radio Network's call of the Kentucky Derby.
I feel like I could run as the Republican nominee next time out and just get up there and shout chemtrails over and over again until I become president. That's how it feels sometimes. I get, you know, you gotta give it to Sanders though, at least like when he speaks. I'm left with the feeling that at the bare minimum, he believes everything they, and he means everything that he says. Whether you agree with what he's saying or not, I mean, you know, obviously, some people are, some people aren't. Clinton comes off calculated and Trump comes off like he has no idea what the fuck any of these questions even mean. He's like, what are these words? I'm just gonna say this. And hopefully this will work. I don't know. Clinton comes off as calculated and strategic. Trump comes off like he's trying to calculate on the fly.
Upsets in the history of the United States, and in fact become the nominee for the Democratic Party. And then once we secure that position, I have absolute confidence that we are going to defeat Donald Trump in the general election.
Right, that was Bernie Sanders earlier tonight after his decisive win over Hillary Clinton in the Indiana Democratic primary. Here now, political science lecturer at the University of Georgia, Josh Putnam, from the University of Virginia Center for Politics, Kyle Condig is with us, and the president and founder of High Noon Strategies, Lisa Booth. Lisa, you know, you take away, we want to talk about corruption in politics, you take away those superdelegates, and he's right there with Hillary.
Right.
We're neck and neck, but the party is so corrupt, they already decided that he can't win.
Well, it makes it really hard for Hillary Clinton and for Bernie Sanders to try to surpass her because the delegates are based off a proportional basis. Right. So it's this slow drag that is happening, and Hillary Clinton wants nothing more than to end this thing that not have to do with Bernie Sanders anymore. But, Sean, the big irony of the night here is the fact that mainstream media and the liberal left have been pointing to dysfunction in the Republican Party, this lack of unity.
Yes, what's the mainstream media have to say?
But it's the Democratic Party right now that could be potentially heading to a contested convention, and it's incredibly divided. Yes, it's just this great irony.
It is a great irony, and I agree with Lisa about that. And the funny part is, Hillary's going to have a tough time. I don't see those Bernie Sanders people, as much as Cruz and Trump supporters have been at each other's throats, I don't see Bernie Sanders supporters really feeling the burn for Hillary in any way, shape, manner, or form.
Well, I think that maybe Trump is helpful in that regard because, you know, I think that American voters are so often motivated by disliking the other party. And certainly there are a lot of Democrats, even Sanders supporters, who are not going to like Trump. And likewise, there are a lot of Republicans who aren't going to like Clinton. So I think there's going to be a lot of voters motivated by hate as opposed to love in this election.
Sweet. Always fucking good position to vote from.
Well, you know, Sanders is relying at this point on superdelegates to come over to his side, and that's just asking them to do something they've never done since superdelegates have been a part of the Democratic process.
Yeah. All right, going forward, we talk about unity. Do you see a problem?
I think it's going to be tough, but this is where Donald Trump, you know, for Republicans, is going to have to exercise some leadership. He's going to have to bring the Republican Party. It's going to have to be an inclusive message of we're all in this together. We're all in this together to stop Hillary Clinton because that's the alternative for the country. And so he's going to have to make the case, and I think he's got a strong one, a strong economic case, and I think that's a way that he could potentially connect with voters.
Has the country, though, moved center left? I get the sense, watching all these millennials, all these young people, wanting
damn kids.
New loans paid for, free health care, free daycare, free houses, free cars, who knows what they want.
Yep.
They want
free everything.
Status,
that's all it is.
Complete status utopia. Is that going to impact the election?
Well, I think that's going to have to be, for Donald Trump to push that economic message, I think it's going to have to be one about the American dream. It's going to have to be a one. And, you know, he's obviously a very rich guy, but he can use it.
Fox News is real good at being Fox News.
I want you to do well in this economy, too, and you haven't been. And that's why he's resonated with some of these blue-collar workers and some individuals who feel like
you can count on Fox News to be Fox News.
And so that's the case he's going to have to make to Americans, and I think that could be his crossover appeal to voters might not typically look to the Republicans.
Kyle, let me go to you. Do you think this blue-collar appeal that did show up for Donald Trump in states like Pennsylvania and around the country, will it show up in the general election? Does he have the opportunity of, 60, 80,000 Democratic voters in Pennsylvania switch to Republican because they wanted to vote for Trump? Is that a possibility? He takes a state like Pennsylvania?
Well, so I think that Trump probably will do better than Mitt Romney did in certain parts of the country, maybe in Appalachia, for instance.
Sweet. That's a fucking, Well, she could do better than Mitt Romney. Oh, well, shit, man. Oh, man. But yeah, it's, none of that feels good. None of that seems headed in a good direction. Got a real, real bad feeling about all that stuff. All right, I'm home. That's cool. So, I'll see you later. Not tomorrow. I got a dentist thing and some other stuff tomorrow. So yeah, I will see you all, I guess, Thursday morning.